for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Welcome back to Pleb Underground. This is episode 59. Shitcoiner communities are personality cults, low-T vibes, no responsible adults, insider info, NDAs, law enforcement with NDAs, Maxi's ripped, mini script, rightly tipped, more percent, tightly lipped, inbox full sent, lightly tripped, and then she's spent. My favorite time is satin, silk host, my girl in all patterns, her ilk most, spicy unlike yours, milk toast, dice your flaws, your ilk coast, never pump the brakes, forever stumped with aches, mass inflammation fakes, no hesitation with which she bakes. See, in life, the sex has to be meaningful. Be green lines, the flex, don't lean in, pull. Her a little closer, she's little, you close her. Celebrate with masala dosa, I'm her doctor, she said dosa. Make more space, just to host her, put the O in her mimosa. Not quiet, but enjoys the order to gag. She's smoking hot like my reefer. Successor with the swag, your Riz Khalifa. She might have the RBF, so don't take it for granted. Transaction hex, that's one to F, you might get supplanted. Lips any girl, not, that's not me. Lips not just any girl, that's not she. She keeps me on her toes, so I keep her on her knees. No leaps, me on my flows, most sleep, her on her Z's. Bitcoin not second, but it is top two. Already number one, it can't hop you. Bitcoin tech is ever evolving, sometimes actual problem solving. This week the talk is BitVM. Each week, new talk, just sit DM. Clear the FUD with your expert witness. Your bud's a pro, call him expert litness. Sometimes I hit the gym with bae. Gym bro's like, this is the way. Dressed like a tennis player, always a grand slam. You're super jelly, but here it's called jam. Breakfast in the evening, not in the am. If I was a London borough, I'd be beast ham. I know it's not kosher, not an ad, it's a brochure. Pleb Underground fam, we make the moster. The guests, stay impressed, each one of us shows up. Don't fear a lot of capital for IBD. We're here with Mr. Capital, I call him PD.
That moment when we realize we're learning a lot more about Walton than maybe we want to. But yes, that's right, guys. We have fellow Bitcoiner and pleb PD Capital joining us. Dude, thank you so much for coming on Pleb Underground.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I got to thank you all. Because being on a base podcast, it's another type of experience. And most of the corporate podcasts are full of garbage anyway, so I'm happy to be here, and that's my pleasure for sure.
Totally humble.
And once again, Pleb Underground coming to you from three different countries across the world.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And speaking of which, we are going to move it on over to the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers, of course, brought to us by Time Chain Stats and Time Chain Calendar, and sponsored by BTC Pins.
The numbers are brought to you by BTC Pins. Check them out at btcpins.com. Use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND for 5% off. Awesome pins. Check out my collection. Look at that. Obviously, my favorite one is Fuck the Fucking Fuckers. Absolutely awesome. 5% off. Use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND at btcpins.com. At the time of this recording, the block height is 813,083. The fiat Bitcoin exchange, 29,511.49. Total public lightning capacity, 5,302.2. And the fastest fee, 13 sats per V-byte. Moscow time, 33.88, and our chain rewrite days, looking at 687 days. Boom, the numbers.
That chain rewrite days has been dropping a bit recently, so yeah. That sounds like we've had a recent spike in hash rate. That's cool. So yeah. Sounds like it's gonna be interesting though, because the halving's not that far away, right? Like, what happens to some of these miners? There's some miners that are definitely kind of leveraged, right? Yeah. We'll see. The lightning numbers keep ticking up.
Yeah, we're looking good. We're looking good. But you know what? I want to bring up an article, because we talked about this, right? And you pointed out that my numbers, the numbers I was using, was wrong. So we're gonna pull up the right numbers. Brought to you by Walton. So here, well, brought to you by Wicked, but brought to you by Walton.
Here we go. Oh, this is about the Kager, right?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Okay, so here we go. At W_S_Bitcoin. Anyways, here we go. The 10-year compound annual growth rate, now only 70%. I was touting a number 200%. So pack it up, folks. Thinks Bitcoin's dead. Obviously, he doesn't really think Bitcoin's dead. But if you take a look, right, the 12-year, still 111%. Right? 10-year is 70%. 8-year, 79%.
Yeah, that's because in those like first 2 years, Phil, it went from being like fractions of a penny to like a dollar. And so like it really did quite, you know what I mean? It went, or whatever it was, you know, not quite that. But, you know, you could buy, in 2011, you could buy 1,000 Bitcoin for a dollar, you know, and then 10 years later, you know, each one's worth, you know, at least $10,000. Like,
pretty crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
So you could have gone from, you could have spent a dollar and have $10 million 10 years later. You can't say, people can't say there's a 200% CAGR. You got to be careful about this. Like, don't start telling all these newbies, oh, you're going to get 200% CAGR. No, come on. Like, you got to be responsible, because then they all think that they are. And then all these retards then pile in and, you know, get a bunch of loans and get wrecked. And then that actually then suppresses the price, right? Like, you got to, if you orange pill people thinking that and telling them that it's going to moon, then they behave like that. And then, you know, actually they get wrecked, right? But it also in the short term isn't good for the Bitcoin price to go up.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think that it also, I'm not totally disagreeing with that, but I just find that there's a lot of normies that if Bitcoin is not presented in the NGU fashion, because they just don't give a shit. They just don't give a shit about censorship.
Yeah, I just say $1 million end of the decade. I mean, people say, oh, what do you think is going on with the markets? How do you think it's going to go over this year? And I say $1 million end of the decade. And like, I just won't engage in it. Like, I say sideways all year is the answer. Like, probably, I don't know. Like, I say bulls and bears. There's going to be bull traps and bear traps. And that's what you know, right? People, if you try and get too greedy in one way or another, you're going to get wrecked. You know.
Petey, what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, yeah.
I don't agree exactly, but we don't disagree exactly. So.
Buy the dips.
I think so. I think it's the same. I kind of agree with Walton here. I think saying 200%, it's a little overrated. And okay, maybe you get some normies, maybe you get some finance people into Bitcoin, but it's those are not the best people you want to attract. And it's because it's not true, simply. And probably, yeah, the number go up people that just look for number go up, they're not going to be attracted to a 70%. But it's great. It's better than the dollar. It's better than the euro. That's kind of my what
it's a savings technology. So at least that's the way that's the way we view it. So in terms of a savings technology, yeah, I'll take 70%. I'll definitely take 70%. Okay, well, you know what? Speaking of adoption, we've got this tweet from fellow Bitcoiner Ben Ark, and for the people who for the people who are builders, for the people who like to tinker. Okay, Ben Ark is an absolutely awesome Bitcoiner. He's the one that does all kinds of really cool.
He's a bit of a communist, though, Phil.
He is. But I'm not talking about his political views. I don't give a shit about his politics. I'm talking about his Bitcoin stuff. Okay, like. And his Bitcoin stuff is on point. Like, this guy's been doing little projects that really help people get into Bitcoin for a very long time.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I have to applaud him for that.
He's like an expert tinkerer. Like, this guy, like, you give this guy a shed and a soldering iron, and who knows what bits he can come up with.
He and I have argued about politics in the past. Like, we agree to disagree entirely. But anyways, let's dive into this. Had a crazy realization. eBay only has 50 million users, Amazon 300 million, because it's restricted by bank accounts. Really, it should have 3 billion users like Facebook. Noster Market, and you know me, I'm not such a big Noster cheerleader, but Noster Market is the most powerful bankless digital market, so can only win 6 billion people.
So I saw this tweet, Phil, and I loaded up. I saw this tweet. I loaded up Noster Market. I couldn't find the weed. Where's the weed at, Phil? Like,
you know what? That's I gotta say, man. I gotta say, when I saw that tweet, the first thing I was thinking of was like, yep, of course, right? The, you know, one of the first things that you can buy on these markets, of course, is that. And a lot of people, a lot of normies would get upset about that and be like, you see, it facilitates crime and blah, blah, blah. What it really does is reduce friction, okay? Because the main problem that occurs, right? Because people are going to do whatever it is that they are compelled to do. That's why the drug war is never won. But the reality is that it reduces friction. So people are going to do what it is that they're compelled to do. And as a result, if you can take away the aspect of violence and the aspect of that type of crime, then all of a sudden, that act becomes much less of a detriment to society. So, you know what? I can see the two sides of the coin. To your point, though, I also couldn't find that listing. So, because I was like, really? I'm like, that's where it's at? But anyways, I'll go back and check again. Maybe it's sold too fast. I from what I understood, it may have sold out. So who knows? Do you guys have any thoughts on the Noster Marketplace piece?
Well, I mean, like I said, I couldn't find the weed. Like, I think they're lying. Like, is it the next Silk Road? Maybe. But from what I hear, CivKit has better privacy. Some of these Noster people, like, they're gonna get in a little bit of trouble because it's not all that private. It is censorship resistant, but it's not very private. So be careful.
Interesting. Petey, are you you a big Noster fan?
Not that much. I'm not kind of a Noster fan. I'm on Noster, but I kind of just don't use it. And I agree with Walton too, again, to a certain... It's privacy in Noster is an illusion, I would agree. It's censorship resistant, for sure. But it's very difficult for you to conduct a business like that. And my first thought was, this is the next Silk Road. They're gonna be caught. So like this is the exact same movie that we saw again. And if this grows, yeah, they're gonna be caught. I have no doubt. But yeah, this is a frictionless way to people to move into Bitcoin anyway. That's the first image you saw, but there's tons of products you actually can sell online, and so. I would agree with that, yeah. Just limiting by bank accounts, it's a way that it kind of doesn't make sense, because if you want to be a business, you want to profit, you want to take every possible income and that you have. And so that's kind of doesn't make much sense being limited by a bank account. That's the great thing, but you know, like the other part is kind of Silk Road-y.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head about the bank accounts, right? And we can see, you know, bank accounts, they're not inclusive, they are exclusive. Guys, let us know what you think about all of this. Put it in the comments. That wraps up the numbers, and we are going to move it on over to the Fireside Chat. The Fireside Chat is brought to you by CipherSafe. Check them out at ciphersafe.io. The best way to secure your seed, storing your seed in something that is virtually indestructible. Check out the Cipher Grid. It also comes with this awesome little punch tool at ciphersafe.io. If you appreciate fine craftsmanship and Bitcoin art, check out the Bitcoin Rouleau Triangle by CipherSafe.io. 16 ounces of solid titanium made by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. That is the Bitcoin Rouleau Triangle at CipherSafe.io. Welcome back, everyone, to the Fireside Chat. Joining us today, as you guys know, we've got fellow Bitcoiner and pleb, PD Cap. So, PD, to start this off, I'm interested in your rabbit hole story. If
Phil, can you just turn the fire up a bit? PD looks cold.
I mean, look, we do aim to have a cozy little setting here, so I'll turn it down a bit.
No, I do look cold. That's a fact. I cannot deny that. But it's not too cold. It's just a. It's just
you
a
like
way
to keep yourself in cold storage as well as your Bitcoin. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like my private keys are, so I'm okay.
You switched the heating off to stack sats.
Yeah, no, obviously the heat is off. The entire year, the next 2 years, probably, yeah. This is gonna be a terrible winter, but I don't know. Let's get some wood outside like the old times and get ourselves it with that. So yeah, I think that's a possibility. So you can sack sets, so you can sack more.
So Petey, tell us about the rabbit hole story. Like, when did I think I met you first in a Spaces like a couple of years ago or something like that, but Bitcoin time totally screws me up. So tell us the story, the origin story.
No, yeah, I think it's probably right. I was on Bitcoin prior to being on Bitcoin Twitter. But yeah, I never doxed that part, and I don't think I will. But it was good days, and I did some stupid shit with my Bitcoin those times that I regret. But that's kind of what happens if you're into Bitcoin, then you spend something, and some time later you kind of regretting, why did I spend that Bitcoin? And yeah, because it can take you out of nowhere, and that's kind of what happened. And then I joined Bitcoin Twitter, and was an awesome to meet new fellow Bitcoiners online that they think alike you and can just like have a real conversation, because fiat indulges in that, and fiat kind of gets things a bit weird if you talk about Bitcoin and other subjects that are related to Bitcoin. I think that with Bitcoiners, obviously, I think you're kind of more free, and I felt that, and I still feel it, and I need to talk to Bitcoiners every day to get my Bitcoin fire going, and that's kind of the rabbit hole. And yeah, when I understood Bitcoin, it kind of was not about Bitcoin itself. It was just a tool that was recommended to me, and I bought it, but I didn't understand it. And so it was some years later that I understood about Bitcoin and kind of delved into that. For me, in the beginning, it was just a tool, not what it is today. It's completely different. It's, for me, it's a way of life right now.
Yeah, I like that. It's very interesting that you mentioned that. For you, in the beginning, it was a tool, right? Like, it's the same type of thing for me. I came to Bitcoin for the medium of exchange. I did not understand the savings technology, the censorship resistance, any of that stuff. So let me ask you this, though. What is the scene like where you are in terms of local Bitcoiners? Like, are you involved with doing any Bitcoin meetups or anything like that? Or tell us about that if you can.
No, I'm not really that involved. Like, I'm in the 21 group from Gigi, but I'm not active at all. Like, I just received a message, and I've never been to any meeting in Portugal, and so I don't know. And there's that meeting gonna happening the Atlantis, and it's in Madeira. So yeah, I'm thinking about that, but I don't know. I'm not that involved in the scene in Portugal, because like at least the people I know, it's very shit coinery, and I kind of don't like it. And so I try to isolate, because I got my friends outside and worldwide, and so I prefer kind of that way. I'm doing fine. I've met some Bitcoiners from Twitter, and it's kind of been fun that way. And I'm not kind of indulging in Portugal, because I know there are some Bitcoin-only meetings, but they are few. There's a lot of shitcoin conferences all over. And I kind of try to stay away from that.
So I don't really know much about Portugal. Is it like, does Portugal have a central bank or anything like that? Like, is it issuing its own currency, or is it under the euro, or...?
No, yeah, it's under the euro. Like,
okay,
yeah, we have a central bank, but it doesn't work like a central bank. And we work within the eurozone, so like whatever it's printed, it's with the ECB notice and the ECB knowing that already, because we are in debt. Like, our country is in debt. It was one of the countries that had problems into the 2008 financial crisis. With Ireland, with Spain, with Italy, and it's big. So the other one, it's Greece. And so, yeah, we the certain countries of Europe mostly have problems on that part economically. So we are
basically it's like the weather's good. So you're like, hey, look, after lunch, I'm not going back to work. I'm going to go chill in the sun. Good for you. Good for you. So like, but it's bad for like, you know, the government and them raking in money, and then they spend more money, and you know.
Yeah, and we have kind of a socialist government right now. It's not like China, but it's the socialist party, and it's doing terribly. And so it's kind of difficult, like I said. Yeah, people, like Walton said, people like to go to the beach and do not go to work after that. So I don't know. Yeah, we are a bit relaxed, like Spanish, like Greece, like Italy. Ireland, I don't know why it had its financial crisis due to being separated from to Britain for sure, and within the euro, it's that situation. So
they've certainly pivoted since, right? Ireland became like a kind of not tax haven, but it's they charge like 15% corporation tax, which is less than many places in Europe, and so you've got like a whole bunch of big companies moving there. I believe Apple are based out of Ireland, at least for tax reasons in Europe. I think a couple of other, you know, big conglomerates similarly.
So Petey, how excited are you for a CBDC? Because I don't know if you saw that the video of Christine Lagarde. I mean she, you know, can't seem to really tell us whether it's happening, but it's happening, and they're deciding. And so tell me, like, what is there any actual conversation around this? Like, do you pay attention to the mainstream media there? Is there any actual conversation, or is this just us in our echo chamber paying attention to everything the ECB does?
Yeah, no, I think so. Like, there's minimal coverage, and when, for example, Christine Lagarde or any other politician in the UN or whatever talks, media covers it, but it's that part of the CBDC. No, nobody talks about this. The normies, they don't even know that's coming. And so, yeah, that's the funny part when they say, oh, no, you still can choose cash or digital. But we're going digital anyway, so we are basically digitizing and controlling your identity, your way of spending, and tracking everything you do online and offline too. And so I think, yeah.
It's like Twitter, right? Twitter want to introduce a $1 a year fee. But it's like, it's only with a card. And actually, it's like, okay, fine. I like, sometimes I don't really care about all this inclusivity stuff, but the point is, what I do care about is the kind of trackability. Like, I care about the KYC stuff. Like, if you're essentially having to tie a legal identity, a financial legal identity, which is what they're going to lock down when they don't like your speech that's attached to it, right? Like, and it's, yeah, okay, people are like, oh, $1, everyone can afford $1. Even these poor people in Africa that have smartphones, how can they afford a smartphone and they can afford Bitcoin, but they can't afford a dollar for Twitter? No, you fucking retards. They don't have access to the legacy financial system that actually enables them to do those kinds of purchases, right? You can't just do any kind of purchase, even if you have the capital. There's lots of locked liquidity all over the world because some people do not have access to certain financial networks. Certain people do not have permission to use certain financial networks. No one needs permission to use Bitcoin or Lightning. Hopefully Elon, you know, actually sorts his shit out and goes, hey, actually, maybe I should accept Bitcoin for this. And he might actually have, you know, whole bunch of people, you know, signing up for Twitter. Who know? Who knows?
It's always the illusion, right? It's the illusion of inclusivity. It's the same thing that the banks do, right? You ever see, like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but here, right? Like, the banks, they do a lot of marketing, like trying to pretend like they're part of your fucking family or something like that. You know, like all of a sudden you're just having these lunches with your bank advisor. Who the hell has a bank advisor, right? Like, that's not really a thing. You know, so they just try to make it seem like that. But at the end of the day, as you guys know, it's not inclusive. It's exclusive. Okay, like that. The whole point is to keep a whole bunch of, for whatever reason, determined to be undesirables, okay, out of the financial system. For whatever reason. I just don't get it. I've never understood this. You know, like, why? Like, what is the benefit of doing this? Like, I understand, I guess, you know, like if you are trying to maintain power or have some kind of weird, I don't know, some weird notions of grandeur or whatever it is, you know, like, and this is some weird twisted game. But otherwise, like, wouldn't you want everybody possible to be in your financial system? Right? I don't know. I just don't get it.
If that's really what it's about. I think so many of these things, it's like they are just about harvesting data, because if you have enough data, you know, you can pull enough strings to actually direct behavior, and then actually you can make a lot of money, right? Like, that's ultimately what this comes down to.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Absolutely. Okay.
That's what Zuckerberg did. And so he sold people's data to get some money for whatever. And so those politics could align with that money. And kind of that's kind of the game, like you're saying, Coining. It's a tough game to beat. It's a tough game to beat because they still want to make money. And they don't care about the data they're selling to anybody. So they're selling the data anyway if it's profitable for them. And so it's just a honeypot of data. And so about Twitter, that's interesting too, because like he said in the beginning, no, we're going to open source everything, the code, and we're going to open source everything. And he did the opposite. He's closing the network. The APIs don't work anymore. It didn't release any code really, and it's just getting more exclusive, like you're saying, Coining. So what's the point?
You know what? It's going back to this, right? I forget who it was that mentioned this, or it was something essentially about the fact that like somehow Twitter has now been saved and has become like more of a platform for, you know, for proper messaging. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, these are all paid shills. Every single person is completely incentivized for engagement and absolutely nothing else. So if you ask me, it just became an even bigger noise echo chamber, right? Like, to your point, you know? So it's, yeah, unfortunately, right? None of us are better than our incentives, and the incentives to monetize data are so great. And not only that, but now with the, you know, the AI, right? Like the AI advancements that we're seeing. I mean, having the data is one thing, but now you're actually starting to be able to do something real with it. Before, it was just a lot of data aggregation and advertisement. Like, now they can create entire stories out of all of this data. They can create a whole bunch of fake people. It is just absolutely insane. You know, like for me, we're at that, like, that level of dystopia. All right, guys, that wraps up the Fireside Chat, and we're going to move it on over to Wrecked. Wrecked is brought to you by Crypto Cloaks. Check them out at CryptoCloaks.com. Awesome 3D prints made by fellow Bitcoiners, such as Astronaut Dude. Everybody loves the Astronaut Dude. And if you want to store your Open Dimes, check out the Bitcoin Grenade. Get the bigger one and you can fit a full-sized signing device. That's at CryptoCloaks.com. And don't forget to use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND for 5% off. All right, everyone. Welcome back to Wrecked. And that's right, there is no shortage of Wrecked this week. So, Watcher.Guru account, Justin, FTX co-founder, admits Sam Bankman-Fried used millions of stolen customer funds to donate to U.S. politicians.
I swear we already kind of knew this. Like, they were just on the vibe, right? Like, it was, everyone knew, and he donated a shitload of money to a whole load of politicians, and most of them, I want to say it was like 90%+, said they weren't giving it back even after, like, it blew up and they knew that he was a fraud. Now it's proven that it's stolen customer money that was given, even though we kind of really knew it anyway. Let's see what the politicians do. I bet they still say, no, I'm not giving it back.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, his Wrecked story just seems to get worse and worse. And to your point, we as Bitcoiners already were talking about this several months ago, Okay, so now it's just quote unquote official, right? But it wasn't really difficult to see because you were able to tell all the different connections, right? And the fact that this blatant scam was able to go on for so long, there were so many people getting paid. Anyways,
what I'm confused about though is who will the Democrats now use for like money laundering around wars? Like, because Sam was doing their like money laundering in like through Ukraine, like who's going to do the money laundering for the Democrat Party now? Like, I'm intrigued.
Well, I'm pretty sure Sam Altman's going to take his place at some
point. And what happened to Epstein's client list?
Walton, we don't talk about that, okay? That those people are all fine.
See, that's what I think, this is a distraction. They're like, hey, look, okay, Epstein's a bigger story. Look, no, we'll pump the Sam story again and distract. Look over here.
Yeah, pump the Sam story. And look, also war. Nobody pay attention to what's going on with Epstein's list. Anyways, okay, this is a follow-up to a clip, actually, that we did. Walton, thank you very much for the links. So we did a clip this week on essentially the UK government requiring customers that want to trade and accumulate crypto to take a test, and supposedly a leaked version of this test from Binance came out. This is a tweet from Mononaut, however you want to pronounce it. Anyways, so here we go.
Okay, isn't it Mononaut? I thought it was Mononaut. Isn't it? I don't even know. I don't even read it. This guy makes some cool visualization thing. I can't even remember what it's called. Like, it's like mempool, but like with better graphics. I want to say, is it Bitfeed? Is that his? I can't remember. I'll confirm.
Yes, it is.
So I'm not 100% sure if these screenshots are accurate, right? We believe that they are, but if you take a look at this, okay, the assessment quiz, you need to answer 3 out of 6 questions, so 50%. You only have 2 chances every 24 hours. But more importantly, let's take a look at one of the examples of these questions, okay? And it's very important for the narrative, okay? So what best describes the risk of crypto assets and how you should invest? A, crypto assets are low-risk assets that are appropriate for all investors. B, crypto assets are medium-risk assets and should make up the majority of an investor's portfolio. C, crypto assets are a high-risk investment and shouldn't make up more than 10% of your total portfolio because you can lose everything you invest. Spoiler, the answer they want you to choose is C. Okay.
But what's funny is like they pretend like fiat assets, you can't lose everything. They are kind of correct about like, well, shit coins, you are going to lose everything. So like, don't do that. Like, you know, but.
So this is kind of the whole thing, right? So what I said in the clip originally is that essentially what they're doing is they are limiting their exposure to your failure, okay? Like, because essentially at the end of the day, you know, these institutions, don't think for a second they don't want your trading fees, they don't want your money, and they don't want your business. Of course, they want all of these things, but what they need to make sure is to limit their liability to your stupidity. So, hey, you check the boxes, you fulfilled these requirements, well, you get wrecked. It's all on you, of course, right? Like, they're just absolving themselves of responsibility under the guise of implementing security measures. This is just a
little. Sometimes they also do it preemptively. They go one step further than the laws are actually requiring, essentially like pre-cucking to try and get some favorable, you know, consideration in the future from regulators or whoever. They say, oh, when they actually were selling something that was, you know, blatant, I mean, like they're all these shit coins are blatant frauds and scams, right? But like when they're selling something that's really fucking blatant and the regulator catches them, they say, oh, well, I'm sorry. Hey, don't you know, we're good people, right? We went beyond when we needed to. It's fucking PR, guys. Don't fall for it. Like these are PR stunts meant to be like, we're the good guys. No, you're just scammers and frauds. But you know, you're good at PR, right? But this is what the fiat system incentivizes, right? People with high political quotient, people who are good at saying, look at what I do, rather than actually, you know, doing good work.
It's a very good point. Petey, what are your thoughts on this one before we move on to the final wrecked story?
No, yeah, I agree, and I think it's what you said. It's plausible deniability. They need to be on that position, and it's a kind of a way to lobby themselves too to the to the governments, like you guys saying, then they go a step ahead. And I agree with that. It's like, oh, if you took the quiz, you know that the crypto assets, which are basically shit coins, are very risky. And you basically, it's like the terms and agreements. You just accepted that you might lose 99% of what you invest. So we are okay with that. And you're okay too. So we can now get rid of that liability, and you can shitcoin at your free range of 100% leverage or 100 times leverage. So yeah, I think that's keep happening, and that will keep happening with Binances and Coinbases and whatever kind of corporation that just it just exists for pure profit and shit profit. And so yeah, and they don't care about the investors really, or whatever they call themselves. They really don't. They want your money. They want your Bitcoin, and they want you to spend their Bitcoin there and trade it until you lose it all and give it to CZ. So yeah, I think it's that. It's that story.
There's another factor here at play, right? Like there is the regulators. Sorry, not the regular. There are the shitcoiners essentially, you know, trying to do favorable things in front of regulators. But I do also think we have a systemic crackdown on and off ramps across the Western world.
Yeah.
And we should be promoting more and more peer to peer, you know, Bitcoin trading. You guys, you should be going to your Bitcoin meetups and trying to buy, you know, Bitcoin for cash. You know, it, you know, peer to peer, and I like this. Someone reminded me the other day, and I like this framing. It's a really good framing. There isn't a premium for KYC free sats, right? There isn't a premium for non KYC sats. No, there is a discount for KYC sats, right? You are buying yourself a discount by doxing yourself. And I like that framing. I think it's a really good way of framing, right? And we're going to come on some of this kind of these kind of ideas in when we move on to Hopium. But yeah, we got to be careful. Like, what's the point about Bitcoin? Is it if everything is just KYC and tracked? Like, are we really doing what we need to do?
Yeah, that's very good points. And I just to finish it up before we move on to the last story. Crypto assets itself as a word is just a misnomer, right? It conjures up this idea that you're purchasing something that offers some varying degree of security, return on investment. These are not investments. Everything, as you guys know, right? It's, you know, everything but Bitcoin is a complete fucking scam. So,
well, there aren't any coins anyway. There aren't any tokens. So, like, Bitcoin isn't a crypto asset, right? There's a ledger. There are no sats. There are only UTXOs.
Exactly. That's right. You know, yeah. So it's just anyways, it's a lot of unlearning that you have to teach people, right? Because immediately everybody started to equate these shit coins with securities, right? Because, oh yeah, it's just like stocks. Oh, it's like penny stocks. No, it's not like penny stocks. You have zero investor protections because you're not an investor. You're just a bag holder. Anyways. All right. Speaking of bag holders, let's take a look at our final fail.
Phil, it's wrecked, not fail. Come on, dude.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh, man. Final wrecked. Here we go. It's all the same, though. Wrecked, failed. All right. But yes, you're absolutely right. Okay. So here we go. This is, and shout out to you again, Walton, man. Got me some good links this week. So here we go. This is a tweet from Pleditor. Ethereum co-founder Joe Lubin is a scammer. Who knew? Yeah, we would have never guessed this. And what is he talking about? So let's dive into this. Former Consensus AG employees take equity court case against founder Joseph Lubin to the U.S. So 27 former employees who joined the company in its early days claimed they were deprived of their equity after Lubin, with the help of JP Morgan, executed a series of corporate maneuvers transferring core assets from the original Swiss incarnation of the company into an American firm formed in 2020, according to a lawsuit filed in the Supreme Court of the state of New York on Thursday.
Yeah, I think we previously reported this story. I talked about the story that essentially JP Morgan owned the infrastructure behind Ethereum, which is this company called Consensus. I think they produce something called Infura, which is kind of key infrastructure part of Ethereum.
Well, we've talked about it several times because obviously consensus is such a big piece of Ethereum, but specifically the fact that these people are going after Joe Lubin for getting screwed out of their shares. I think that this is a bit of a, to me, this is a new development in this whole story.
Absolutely. I was just trying to provide some additional context if you hadn't heard of consensus, because certainly, yeah, I mean, I hadn't until a few months ago when this, you know, we started talking about this.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to go through the article and then of course explain the consensus stuff. But anyways, here, let's continue on. So the filing alleges Lubin, a co-founder of the Ethereum blockchain, stripped Consensus AG, also known as Mesh, of its main assets, including crypto wallet provider MetaMask, and transferred them to Consensus Software Inc., incorporated in Delaware, without bringing over the ex-employees as equity holders. Lubin promised that these early employees would receive equity in Consensus, the filing alleges. Then he broke his word. In the process, he violated his legal commitments and duties. The filing said the Brooklyn-based firm, which develops products on Ethereum, has raised $726 million from investors at a valuation of more than $7 billion. But instead of equity, the former employees said they now hold virtually worthless pieces of paper. They were robbed of their expectation to share in Consensus' success for their increased risk, lower salaries, and foundational efforts as early employees, the filing alleges. So here, wrapping it up, the U.S.-based Consensus dismissed the allegations. We fully expect that the plaintiffs, who were never employees of Consensus Software, will soon find this gambit is another fruitless attempt to enrich themselves from the success of others.
So, lol.
So look, let's now, right? You were talking about giving context. So let's give some context, right? There is an awesome thread from Dick Whitman that essentially outlines the whole entire history of Ethereum. And you can clearly see in one of these videos, like the first tweet in the thread where Joe Lubin explains to the potential investors of Ethereum, forget about Consensus, we haven't even gotten to Consensus yet, where he explains to them how they can maximize their profitability, okay? So as investors. So the idea is security, you know, that ETH is a security. It doesn't even make a difference what the SEC says. They said it themselves. They showed it in a video, number one. Number two, okay, Consensus essentially is the only mechanism for being able to build anything on top of Ethereum, okay? And that is predominantly owned by JP Morgan. If you think for a second that they wouldn't totally screw these employees out of potential anything, you're very, very mistaken. Okay, like this is some of the most ruthless, you got to imagine, right? It's some of the most ruthless business that there is. And if they didn't have this in writing, which it sounds to me like they didn't, because they're using the word promise. I mean, don't get me wrong, whether Joe Lubin and JP Morgan screwed them or not, it's almost irrelevant. I mean, I believe that they did get screwed, but I think it doesn't make a difference because I don't think they have anything in writing.
What I think is kind of funny is like how basically all of these like, it's not even shitcoin communities, right? The people on the payroll of the like core shitcoin cabals, shall we say, are starting to act like they're not getting paid, right? We saw the BSV camp falling apart. Now it's the Ethereum camp falling apart, right? People talk about in Bitcoin how, you know, one day the militaries of the fiat governments around the world are not going to be sufficiently paid and how they're going to stop working, right? We're seeing kind of that sort of thing happening with the shitcoin armies, right? The armies of the shitcoin warlords aren't getting paid off enough. To me, that sounds like hopium, Phil. Sounds like hopium.
Kind of does. And speaking of which, that wraps up.
Is that what's up next?
That's right. But look, before we wrap it up, we want to give Petey a chance to comment on this. What are your thoughts, my dude?
No, I think it's opium. Probably not for Joe Lubin, but for Bitcoiners for sure. And I think every group is trying to. They are breaking apart like once, and it's evident now. You can just speak the other side, and that's why Jamie Dimon is so against Bitcoin, because he's invested in the other side. But that side is failing miserably, and it's a fun show to watch. But it might take some time. But the VSV camp, for example, it's pretty easy to see that will broke down. Very, very quickly. It's falling down in pieces. With every court case, with every day that passes, it's just a normal day for CSW and Kavanaugh together, spending more money on a thing they will not achieve anything.
Well, especially because it sounds like Calvin doesn't want to pay the bills anymore as well.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. But he says... CSW is fully funded, so I don't know. Let's see. It's fully funded by I don't know, probably BSV Association or whatever, or CoinGeek or whatever, which is basically Calvin. So it's not directly, but I think Calvin is still in the game. He still wants to try and get something out of Bitcoin, which they will not. They are lunatics. They will not get anything out of the real Bitcoin, which. And that's a funny, interesting story. And Ethereum, I don't know. I don't really care about Ethereum. We knew that he was a scammer. And so, yeah, he scammed more people.
Yeah, does anyone know how many Ethereum Lubin has? Like,
who cares?
Who cares? Yeah, who cares?
I'm sure he owns a shitload of it. Okay, and I'm pretty sure that he's helping this flippening along right now as Ethereum flippens closer to zero. I bet they didn't. I'm surprised they didn't see that, right? They drew out this whole big entire roadmap that I made fun of when I was back on Simply Bitcoin, right? With the merge, the splurge, the purge, and all that shit. Man, they had it all mapped out. I'm surprised they didn't see this flippening down to zero.
I thought the flippening is where they flip the Ethereum to like greater fools while they collect, you know, dollars and Bitcoin, probably.
I always say they're going to be flipping burgers. That's when they're gonna flip. If they want to bet in Ethereum, that's what they're gonna flip. They're gonna flip burgers.
There's just a bunch of
guys. So if you get wrecked on Ethereum, please go get a job at Joe Lubin's burger chain once he buys McDonald's with all of the profits of your tears.
Wrecked. All right, guys. Wrecked. That wraps up Wrecked, and we are moving on over to the Hopium.
The Hopium. Up next, we have Hopium, sponsored by Represent. Represent are a Bitcoin-owned clothing brand based in the United States of America. If you head over to representltd.com, you can see that they really put the fight in their clothing. They make some excellent pieces. Here you see a limited edition that you can't buy, but you can buy things almost as cool if you head over to representltd.com and use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND to get a discount on all of the goodies. So I have three stories for you this week on Hopium. The first story, some kind of classic, what I think, bullshit tweet, basically, where someone just runs some random numbers, but it sounds good. But I think it's an interesting one that, I had a few hundred thousand views, so maybe it's had some influence. But I want to have a little look right now. So this was... a few days ago, and there was a pump, right? And then it came back down, right? There was this ETF announcement that then was, bullshit or whatever. But what supposedly was seen was that the market cap, again, market cap's kind of bullshit, right? It's like the margin price multiplied by the number in circulation, which, again, it's like, well, if they were all to be sold, then that wouldn't be the price, et cetera, but whatever. Market cap is what it is. The market cap went up by $50 billion in minutes, supposedly with only $500 $500 million flowing in. So that's 100-to-1 ratio, as in you get a 100x multiplier compared to the inflows. As my credentials wanker explains, as a former BlackRock director said, that we can expect $150 to $200 billion flowing into Bitcoin in the next 3 years after ETFs are approved. And so then that would put the price up to $1 million. That's some serious hopium. I'm not sure how much I believe it. I don't think ETFs actually mean that you've got money flowing into Bitcoin, because do they actually need to buy it? I know, like, supposedly ETFs are meant to be one-to-one, you know, exact reserves, blah, 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 that you can swap it. But I don't know. I don't believe this. I think ETFs are attack on Bitcoin. Why did gold fail? Well, it's because of paper Bitcoin. It's because of gold ETFs. Just fuck these TradFi people, to be honest.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's not really a question. But guys, what do you think?
It's not really a question. It doesn't need to be a question. It could just be a statement, you know? But look, I agree with you. I mean, look, it does sound like amazing hopium. I have to say, what, like, reading that tweet on a bad day would maybe make me smile if I didn't think about it, you know? But look, to your point, the TradFi guys, it's a double-edged sword, right? We talk about adoption, we talk about NGU, we talk about all of this stuff, and the reality is that as much as some people hate it, the Bitcoin fiat exchange rate is psychological, and it also is a measure of people's emotions at the time about Bitcoin.
Plan D calls it the count, right? It's the count of whether we're winning or not.
Yes, which to a certain extent it is. It is the count of whether we're winning or not. But, you know, but the point is this, right? The reality is that even if they do a spot Bitcoin ETF, they can, to your point, they can do something similar like they did with gold, which is, oh, well, you know what? You don't have to deliver it. It's okay. You know, and or they can just say, all right, we settled the contract, and then just move into another one.
Just wait until TradFi offers you small yield on Bitcoin. Yeah, amazing, exactly. How, like, oh, there's a yield ETF or something. I don't know, some bullshit. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's. I'll just think all this TradFi stuff is slippery slope capture of Bitcoin, right? This is how gold failed, is they centralized the custody of it. I just think, yeah, there'll be more and more tricks to and then legal steps to try and push for centralizing custody of Bitcoin, right? We're already seeing off and on ramps getting closed, especially the off ramps getting closed, right? Where the exchanges are holding the Bitcoin for you, or they have to, or et cetera, et cetera. Like, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think you've got to have your Bitcoin in self-custody, otherwise it's not, you know, not your Bitcoin, right? Not your keys, not your coins. But even more so as these ETFs come in, I don't know, do we see a differential in price between them? Who knows?
You know what? Before we go to your comments, PD, I was just thinking of this. Like, what if, right? What if the financialization, right, ends up causing so many problems? Let's just say, right, you end up having more blowups because the Bitcoin, you know, because the Bitcoin spot ETF, you have to have physical delivery. People aren't physically delivering. Let's say there's organizations that are misrepresenting how much Bitcoin they have, right, which we have seen in the past, right? Proof of reserves is something that happened, you know, like, even though it's still a scammy type of thing. So my point is that what if these Bitcoin ETFs and all of this stuff ends up actually causing the biggest, that, like, the most massive financial bubble that we see? Because right now, the last one that we saw was 2008, right? But if you think about it, if these institutions can create a whole bunch of paper Bitcoin off of the real thing, right? How big can it get? So,
well, that's what shitcoins are, right? Shitcoins are a bubble off Bitcoin, right? It's the same kind of thing as, like, derivatives and all this kind of bullshit. Like, TradFi have been doing this longer, right?
So the interesting thing, yes, TradFi has been doing this a lot longer. You're absolutely right. Petey, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Yeah, I think it can fail miserably. There's obviously the argument that it's good for Bitcoin because it brings new investors that want a US-based spot. But I don't think, like, that we move the needle too much. And I agree with Walden. It can fail and be like gold and artificially manipulating the supply and creating, it's a spot ETF, but like who says that the rating companies, the companies that provide the fund or whatever are really in tune with the Bitcoin that they have. They will fake supply. Like, we know that's going to happen. It's finance. I think you might be right on this, Coiny, because it's financializing Bitcoin might get a huge problem to the credit markets outside. If we Bitcoin ever experienced nothing out of that, never experienced a credit crunch, nothing like it. And so it's a great thing. Yeah, you see number go up, but it's always buy the news, sell the rumor, buy the rumor, sell the news. And it was kind of that event. Well, it's all over the place. It's numerous times that this happens. This or that, and I don't know. I think it might be a failure if it's not, because it's against the ethos of Bitcoin. But in my opinion, but yeah, might be wrong too.
Well, you know what? The other piece to it is this, right? Is that maybe we experience this horrible bubble that is going to come, but then it ends up as a result, we essentially end up having to change our behavior, possibly. Right? Although history dictates that our behavior has not changed because our appetite for more useless crap and cheap credit has only increased. So look, it's a tough call, but I, you know, in the end, the ETF is just about the what Walton said, right? It's the TradFi bros, it's the finance bros. This is how, look, If we think for a second, right, that these massive institutions don't want to take more money from the system by using this product, we're wrong, right? They will use any way they can to be able to take that, to be able to take what they believe is their share.
Yeah, it's capture, whether it's of actual Bitcoin or it's regulatory capture, where they're trying to, like, you know, strangle you.
Yep.
I think we're going to see more and more of this. And some of this happens just as, like, supposed Bitcoiners just get greedy. An example here in my next story, you know, Lightning Labs, right, got greedy and they launched this thing called Taro, and then they got sued, and so they had to change the name and call it Taproot Assets, right? You can issue your security on Lightning, just like Liquid, you know, did, and then they got like the Seychelles exchange. And I was slightly excited about this, thinking, oh, maybe, you know, we're gonna see,
yep,
you know, nothing happened, right? Like nothing, there was no real big issuance of stocks on these things. Why? Well, because all equity issuance has to be centralized, and so it, like, the having it on something else, does it really make anything? I don't know. Like, this is why it's all still with TradFi, because you have to have central issuance, and so you end up with, and because all these companies want deals with the state, and so then you end up just being, they end up cucking, like, there's all more regulatory tie, and it's just all everything held by fiat bros, right? But Samurai here rightly calling out, like, that this kind of thing does get cheered on in Bitcoin, right? This, oh, everything should be on Bitcoin, and then hopefully that means we're gonna pump our bags. This is some, like, high time preference nonsense. But more importantly, it's attracting the wrong attention, I think. You're increasing the attack surface for Bitcoin, right? You're increasing the number of things that regulators can come after normal people for, right? You're running a Lightning node, you know, you're not doing anything wrong, but then it's like, oh, you're transferring, like, some asset, and you don't have a license to do that, or like. It just attracts more bullshit from the fiat world. We should be keeping these systems separate, not just trying to, like, merge them as much as possible. I understand, oh, you want to spend your Bitcoin in a store, fine, then you need to orange pill them and get them to actually accept Bitcoin, not be like trying to give them some solution that enables them to flip it back to fiat immediately. Like, we should be building the Bitcoin economy, not just kind of, like, trying to plug Bitcoin into everything. Your thoughts, gentlemen?
It's a tough one, and I would that's a really tough one, because I don't like particularly I don't like that much of samurai, but they're completely right on this. They're completely right on that.
It's this. Probably the most positively I've ever like spoken about a samurai. Like, I had nothing against them, but like I don't know. They're right about this. They are
absolutely right.
Whether you like them personally, they have the right ethos when it comes to Bitcoin, right? They're I don't know. I interrupted you, but my bad. You go back, sir.
No, it's that, and obviously they being a privacy focused, obviously that they don't like to see this because it's regulatory capture. You're opening doors to much more problems in the regulatory world due to just issuing fiat based coins or tokens or whatever they want to call it on. At least it's on Lightning. It's not on main chain, but yeah, Lightning Labs is basically WEF, so they want this dystopian garbage onto Bitcoin, and so I think they're pretty.
Of them as Google, right? Remember, they're founded by ex-Googlers, right? The core team at Lightning, like they're super Silicon Valley.
Yeah, they're fiat, so basically they are fiat, and that's not a good thing. Agreeing in total with samurai here, it's against the ideals of Bitcoin, and it's sad to see those things coming up. But I think it's about the same story too, the previous story, and the ETF and whatever. This will come eventually, and like central banks owning Bitcoin and governments or whatever, all of that will happen. We should try to minimize that and get people to self custody and cold storage their Bitcoin, but it's perhaps could not save everyone. But we should try to minimize those regululations, those companies' power with our Bitcoin, and they creating more Bitcoin, and because it's against what Bitcoin was created for. So yeah, that's my opinion on this.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys, right? Obviously, like samurai, in terms of the drama that we see, and it's not just them, right? Between them and Wasabi and all of this stuff, I mean that just totally puts off a lot of people. But to your point, I totally agree. I mean, as soon as I read that tweet, I was like, based. I mean, that's absolutely right. I mean, this is totally just creating the chains, right? This is building your own prison, right? And that's exactly what people don't understand. Like there is a fine line, but why do we think that Bitcoin needs to be everything to everyone? Like, just think about that, right?
I think it's going the wrong way to me. It's going completely the wrong way. Instead, we shouldn't be trying to increasingly financialize things. We should be looking to like just trade with it. Just use it for say like have more people using it. And actually, this kind of comes on to my third and final article. I'd like to share, I say article, it's not an article. I have a video. And it may not appear to be about Bitcoin initially, but I'm gonna play it to you and then I'll explain how I think it's linked.
Maybe it's about time just that we set the record straight. Huh? First of all, China stepped up when no one else did. Okay, so I'm not their lawyer, but I just wanted also us to treat people fairly. Huh? China stepped up when people actually shied away from Africa. And China built infrastructure that they cannot carry with them to China. It will actually be in Africa. Huh? And China took the risk when people didn't want to take the risk. And now actually we are asking them to join us to actually materialize their risk-taking. So instead of actually balking China, I think we should just appreciate that they did what they needed to do for their own interest, but also actually helped other nations, and they are taking a risk.
I'm going to pause it there. Like, okay, what is this talk about? What is like? What, how is this relevant to Bitcoin? Well, this is the Saudi finance minister talking very, very positively about China's investments in Africa. Now, China, over the last 20 years, have essentially flipped the globe in terms of making them the primary trade partner of all these countries instead of the United States. Now, why does this matter? Why is it relevant to Bitcoin? Well, again, who's this? This is now Saudi, who, you know, famous for the all of the oil and stuff, right, and the petrodollar. I've talked about this, I don't know, for years and years and years. To me, the single biggest indicator for hyper-Bitcoinization, which as I define it is like, you know, a key flip for kind of when do we know the world is really using Bitcoin en masse. To me, that indicator, you don't know how many people are using Bitcoin around the world, really. Like, you can try and infer all this sort of stuff. To me, the key indicator is when oil is primarily traded in Bitcoin and sats, right? And what we see here is the guy who's in charge of the money for... Okay, it's not the biggest oil producer, right? The United States have been upping their oil production, and they are currently the biggest producer in the world. But Saudi certainly have a lot of influence as well with other oil producers, right? With OPEC. Saudi talking increasingly positively about countries that aren't good friends with the United States. Now, what does this mean? Well, I think this means is that we do start heading towards... you know, oil not being traded in dollars as much. Maybe it starts getting traded more in different currencies, and then eventually what happens is, well, one of these countries rugs another one, and they go, oh, shit, wait, all this fiat that we're using to trade, fiat's debt. We can't use debt. We're not friends. Debts are fine between friends, but between enemies, you need actual money. Okay, we're going to start trading oil globally in Bitcoin. Again, this is another little gradually on the way to the suddenly everyone's trading oil for Bitcoin. Gentlemen.
Yeah, I again, double-edged sword, right? Like, this is that type of situation, right? This type of situation that is happening right now with China and Saudi Arabia and those types of comments. To me, I mean, like, look, we've been seeing the U.S. dollar decline as a global reserve currency anyways, right? So, like, this is not, you know, this is not any kind of news. But to your point, once they start talking about Bitcoin, because at the end of the day, right, we all know Bitcoin is the money of enemies. So, and the reality is that Bitcoin facilitates this type of trade. I mean, where else can you have access to that much liquidity in so little time? Nowhere. And when it comes to oil, you're talking about like billions and billions of dollars all the time. So, some good hopium, Walton. That's some good one.
Well, I just think it's that, like, we talk about how, oh, like, let's put all these financial products on Bitcoin. Yeah. No, we need food, we need energy, we need people, you know, producing real value in the real world, producing real products. We need less of this financial bullshit, less people trying to trick their way into getting rich because they think they have to because inflation's, like, outpacing them being able to produce. No, they just need to, like, get back to the basics, learn some real skills, produce some real value, build, you know, beautiful families, beautiful businesses, and, you know, crush things. Let's go.
I like it. Petey, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, first I want to disagree with the finance minister from Saudi Arabia, because the reason China builds infrastructure in Africa is because they want to take the resources out of the African countries. That's the only reason. That's why they buy credit all over the world and mostly in Africa, because the way they deal with those types of finance agreements is that they got to be paid on yuan, and if it's paid on yuan, most of the African countries will default on their debts, because, like, we know the story of African currencies. They are really, really weak against most of other currencies, so they will inflate way faster than, like, the yuan can, the euro, or whatever stronger currency can, and in those times, yeah, that's why they buy credit on there. That's why, like, Saudi Arabia, obviously, it's, I think it's obviously on their favor. And they already did trade of oil in yuan to China. I think that's the path. And I think what Connie Chris said is 100% right, and you too, is that this is the decline of the US dollar. So it's a good thing for Bitcoin because it's on the opposite axis of the US dollar, so it's a good thing, and it's a opium for Bitcoin. And I agree 100% with what you said, Walton, about energy, food, and whatever. But firstly and most important, it's oil being priced in Bitcoin for sure. That it's a pivotal moment. That I think, like, for me, it's the only moment that makes sense to be really that pivotal, is that you will have that moment in time that it doesn't make sense to pay fiat for energy. That is a real good resource, and resource that you need every day in every part of the world, not like a counterfeited piece of paper that has printed some value on it, on some number on it, and not value. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of the game. It's happening all over the world, and that's why you see conflicts on Russia and Ukraine, and now Israel and Palestine. It's that will continuously happen until the US, unfortunately, enters a civil war. There's no way out of it, and unfortunately, I think it's a decline, and it's a steep decline now, and you can see that it's constantly growing, and it's faster and faster, and like you cannot stop the snowball from coming, and it's coming, and it's a good thing for Bitcoin. So I hope things break, not to things break. I think I hope for things to go slow. I think perhaps that will not be the path that we expect so peacefully, and it'll have to be violence, unfortunately. But that's kind of the way human nature works. And so, yeah, that's my two cents.
Now, we really appreciate it. And I think you said it very well. And look, at the end of the day, this is what the orange pill is for. We can opt out of this. This is the, you know, the lifeboat, the orange lifeboat. And guys, that does it for this week's episode of Pleb Underground. Don't forget to drop us a like and subscribe. Help us grow the channel. Petey, people want to find you. How did they get in touch with you, man?
Yeah, they can get in touch with me on Twitter, not X right now. It's an X, .com at PDCap _ McTalks. And with Telegram too, you can get in touch with me, by the way. Same story.
Okay, awesome. We're gonna add those details into the show notes. And guys, don't forget to check us out on our audio-only platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. If you want to stream a sats, check us out on Fountain.fm. You could stream a sats through Breeze. Walton, my camera just died. How do we end this one?
Fuckshitcoins.com. Please like and subscribe. We'll see you next week.
More toxic than the most toxic Bitcoin master.